Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for Happy Hour with Dr. T. Tuesday is our guest day on Happy Hour, where we invite special guests such as Christian authors, Christian men and women, and pastors to join us to talk about their latest books, share their wisdom, what's kind of going on in their world, and to lead us in prayer. All of our podcasts are aired daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Monday is our news day. This week with Dr. T. Tuesday's happy hour. Wednesday is open forum question and answer. Morning coffee with Dr. T. Thursday is a deep dive Bible study. And Friday is from the archives. We pull back some really great interviews that we've done in the past and give people an opportunity that haven't seen them before or can see them for the first time. And then we post every day something on our Substack. So there's something to read and something to listen to every day for what we do. And by now, we hope that all of you have joined the Tenpenny Prime membership. There are three educational benefits for the members each month. A timely white paper that I write, the one this month in April is all about, I'm sorry, it's April. It's May, isn't it? It flipped over the calendar. For May, we're going to be talking about brain health and the neurological system. I've written a topical white paper. I have a recorded presentation for you about vaccine effect on brain health. And then on the last Friday of the Wednesday night of the month, we're going to have Dr. Ted Fogarty on with us to ask the expert to talk about brain, neurological health, hyperbaric oxygen, and a whole list of things that you can do to improve breast health and prevent things like dementia and Alzheimer's. So if you're not a podcast member, if you are a podcast member, we're so grateful for your support. If you're not a podcast member yet and you want to join us and support all the work that we do, please go to shop10penny.net. Hover over the membership tab and you can read all about your benefits. And please join us for a monthly or an annual membership with Tenpenny Prime. We want to make 2025 the year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. So we thank you for your continued support, which helps us to do all the many things that we do for you. Before I introduce you today's guest, Denise Schick, the author of two books that we're going to talk about today, My Daddy's Secret, Understanding Gender Confusion, A Faith-Based Perspective. And the second book we're going to talk about, which I think is very timely, is Gender Confusion, A Biblical Q&A for Families. So stay tight, sit tight. This is going to be a really interesting interview. We're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Denise Schick is the founder and executive director of Help for Families Ministry, founded Help4Families.com, and the executive director of Living Stones Ministry. Denise is an ordained minister, a certified biblical counselor, a life coach, and she holds a BA in psychology. She has led church-based support groups for people of sexual addictions. She is also administrator of family-related issues with Transgender Fellowship, and served in a program on alcohol and substance abuse clinics. Denise also has 7 years of experience with a Christian pregnancy center, first as an administrative assistant, a volunteer counselor, and then a program director, implementing an abstinence program. The first book we're going to talk about today, My Daddy's Secret, is a sensitive, heartbreaking, true story of the effects of a father's sexual addiction on his family, particularly his oldest daughter, whom he made his confidant when she was just 9 years old. The intent of this book is to provide new insights into suffering that such addictions inflict upon families and proof that God's amazing grace and ability to heal the pain. Denise, thank you so much for joining us. Man, you have done so many things, and we're so grateful to have you here with us today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. It seems like life has been an adventure.
You have an amazing and a diverse background. Tell us where your views about all these transgender issues, because there's a lot of books on your website, and how this helped for families, how your center all came about.
Yeah, well, Help for Families had come about from my own personal experience, my family's own personal experience. That day when I was 9 years old and my father had told me he wanted to become a woman, really stunned me in a way. You know, a nine-year-old trying to process that, to process what he was saying along with other sort of details that he had shared with me that day, I immediately thought, you know, Dad and I are two separate people. This won't impact me. His struggle won't impact me. And I was so wrong. I had no idea how much those words would impact me in the days and years yet to come.
I didn't realize when I was reading about that book on your book, that's a firsthand account. In fact, I was going to ask you how this story came about. I didn't realize that that was a firsthand account in your story. When you said My Daddy's Secret, you were talking about my daddy.
Yes, exactly. My dad, you know, sharing with me the secrets and not telling anybody, not knowing who I would tell to begin with and who would you trust. My mother had a lot of migraine headaches, and I certainly understand why as time went on. But I felt as a child that I'm going to make mom sick. If she knows what dad had just shared with me, I'm going to make her sick. So it was one of those situations where the child becomes the caretaker of the family. And I did everything that I could to protect and to take care of my younger siblings. My mother worked afternoons at a local factory. So it was, we were really being taken care of by my dad in the sense, but it changed my life drastically. I immediately grieved the loss of having a dad. What's that look like? You know, dad's gone in a sense, he's still living, but here he's really not present in being a dad, nor did he want to be a dad. So processing the grief of what that's like for a young child, what that feels like, and moving forward into confusion of my own identity, as I thought, did God make a mistake? By 11 years old, I started to question, Dad, what happens if he's right? What happens if God did make a mistake and he should have been a woman? Then how do you know that you're not supposed to be a man? So understanding what that's like for the child in the midst of that type of chaos, you know, you're looking to understand a very complex issue, and yet you're living in this chaotic environment. But as we traveled on in my story, a couple years later, because of maturing very young, my dad also became very jealous of what I was becoming, which was simply a young woman. So navigating that on top of everything else really became too much. It was very heavy. And I was looking for an escape, like most people do when they're going through some kind of trauma, traumatic situation. And I found that alcohol helped to numb the pain. It helped to take me away from my reality for a period of time.
Did you have other siblings?
I did. I'm the oldest of five.
And did you ever tell anybody about this?
I didn't until I was dating a boyfriend who's now my husband. But when I began dating Mark, after over a year of him not understanding why there was so much distance between my dad and I, why I was being so hateful, so cold towards him. and it really became to the point where he said, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I want to understand what's going on. So from 9 years old to 16, nobody knew. Nobody had a clue. And the reason, some of the reasons behind that, honestly, were I'm going to feel rejected. I'm going to be rejected by other girlfriends, right? If their parents find out what my dad's doing behind closed doors or at the local bar, the fact that he wants to become a woman, they're not going to allow them to come over and to play. The girls themselves would reject me. The embarrassment, the shame that I carried for those years. And yet I also thought, if I did tell somebody, who would I tell? Who could I trust? Even though my dad was creating this very chaotic and disturbing environment, I still loved him. And I didn't want somebody talking poorly about him. I understood that he was hurting, that he was looking for a place to escape who he was, with the belief that if he became somebody else, everything would be better.
So, without totally giving away your story, since you want people to read your book, tell us, did your dad ever transition, or did he work it out, or, and is he still living?
He is not still living. And actually 13, when he had left our family to pursue the identity as a woman and take on the persona of being Becky, which is what he called himself, at that point, 13 years went by until I had seen my dad again. It wasn't until the end of his life when he had stomach cancer. And the reason that I had then gone to see him was the Lord clearly calling me to forgive my dad. There was, and the people might say, you know, your dad didn't hurt you. Well, there were a lot of hurtful things that had happened, including being sexually abused by him. So there was so much pain that was just, that had grown so deep within my heart. It was like cancer, you know, that was eating away at me. There was so much anger. And so when I had gone to actually face my dad after 13 years, I know my first thought was I wouldn't have recognized him if I was walking along the sidewalk.
Wow.
He looked like an elderly woman. There was no way. The only way that I recognized my dad that day was looking into his eyes. And that's where I learned to focus, is look at his eyes. When he answered the door, I said to myself, look at his eyes. He can't change his eyes. And that helped me to stay together during that visit.
So you said out of that travesty in your life, or that, maybe I said the wrong word there, out of that experience in your life, let's say that, you developed the Help for Family Ministries. And how have you used that experience, your own personal experience, to help others?
I've used it to, God has really blessed me immensely with being able to be there for others, to develop resources. As you said, there's several books, you know, on the website. It's all about having resources. As a child in the time that I had grown up, we had nobody. You didn't even Google the computers, right? And when they came out, there were these big boxes. There wasn't the information out there. So it was all about helping the families to understand the dynamics that many times are the reasons for somebody that is struggling with their identity. It was coming alongside of them and saying, hey, you know what? You don't have to do this alone. We get you. We know where you're at. We know what that feels like. Come alongside and we will minister to you. We will offer you, whether it's biblical counseling, biblical support, discipleship, friendship, sisterhood, you know, men becoming brothers and standing there with each other. It's all about being God's family and being there for one another. And that's what I desperately searched and really had desired to have as a child.
Your ministry, your Help for Families organization, is that a strict sticks and bricks organization, or is it virtual?
It's actually virtual as well. We have a couple offices and then a lot of virtual. So when in 2004, Help for Families began, and we had to learn how to use the computer. you know, at that point, because this topic was not what it is today. People couldn't just Google and find, oh, there's a support group there, or you know, the resources they're looking for. I would have pastors and actually doctors reaching out from Germany, from Spain, different countries that were looking to have a better understanding and ways that would enable them to minister to the individual or the families. So I learned very on back when Skype was the big thing. You know, today it's Zoom and it's all these other platforms. But
right.
Skype was the only thing, only resource that we had. And so we used it to the abilities and for what we could.
Oh, that's really cool. So how many people are working within your organization?
So I have three other staff members, or actually, I'm sorry, we just hired a fourth one. And then we have countless volunteers that help with different projects, conferences, you know, events and other things that we do.
That's really, really great. So when you, what other thing, what ways do you offer your services to people? I mean, that they can follow you, or they can come to you, or if they know that they've got a problem, because I'm sure that, you know, the story, your whole story of My Daddy's Secret kind of runs both directions. You know, if you've got young people who lived a life kind of like you did, of in solitude and not being able to tell anybody, you've probably got people like that. Then you've also got the people on the other side that are like, I'm really confused. I think I want to be a woman, or I think I want to be a man. I'm not really sure. Are both of those clients part of your clientele?
They are, particularly, you know, it depends on it. It's like getting a call, an email, talking with somebody, meeting with them, finding out where is their need. Maybe they've already worked through their grief, and now they're in a different place where they're trying to build on their understanding. It's like building blocks, right? You go to the foundation of where the person is. A lot of times when we hear from people, they have just heard the news and they are flat out on the ground. The encouragement of what we're able to help people as being part of God's team, in the sense, is to build one another up. And to remind them, this is a spiritual war. And I really look at this issue when it comes to sexuality, same-sex attraction, transgenderism. It is a spiritual war. And it helps the family members to focus on the most important tool that they have access to, and that is through prayer.
Hmm.
And to see the circumstances through the enemy of what he's attempting to do, but through God's power of what he can enable them to do. So it's coming alongside, offering support groups. If there's not one that's in their local area that they can travel to, we have Zoom support groups. We offer a Zoom Moving Forward in Community, which is a workbook biblical study that I had written. And along with that are biblical counseling and life coaching services, webinars that we will do free, just again to help the families minister in any way, or the individual that is listening to maybe a testimony of somebody that we have on the webinars. It's all about where are they, what is it that they need, and how can we help them? In that is usually events where they can come and meet each other in person, right? Zoom and all these things are wonderful when that's all you've got. But when you have the opportunity to meet people in person, what a difference, what a powerful way that the Holy Spirit brings, I believe, even more healing. We recently had a mother's retreat in Carlsbad, California, just a few weeks ago, and it was our first mother's retreat. And this was so awesome to see these women minister to each other, right? The Holy Spirit is doing a work in them, and I'm just observing. I'm seeing God all through this, through the conversations and the prayer time they had with one another and the sharing and the bleeding of hearts. And yet how encouraged they were at the end of that event, how blessed they were to meet other people that could hug them, that could put their arm on their back, say, I know.
Yeah, well, there still is great communion and great healing in human touch. You know,
Amen.
there really, really is that you know, Jesus laid his hands on people to heal them for a reason and to give us that directive that we could touch and heal and sometimes just hold people's hands, sometimes a hug. You know, it's really the human touch is something very special. It was
Dr. T, I remember when I had met a girl that I'd been counseling through Zoom and I was traveling for a educational conference in her area. And she had traveled just a couple hours to actually meet me there. I was several hours, about 12 hours away from home. And what a blessing it was. Somebody that used to identify as a man, that lived as a man for 8 years, was in the same-sex relationship for a number of years. And to meet in person where I was able to give her just a hug, like, I care about you. And for her to see that genuine love, you know, Christ's love for her through me, it was just such a joy to see her come to life. So many individuals that end up struggling with who they are and the confusion that they are living in, it's very chaotic for them. It's not a place that they want to be, and they don't understand sometimes why they're struggling with it, whether it's reality that they don't want to face or haven't faced, or circumstances in their life, but they need God just as much as you and I. I mean, they need Jesus Christ as much as we do. And I know the healing that the Lord had given me. I know where my heart once was with my dad and the way that I would view those in high school, that I had a pretty good idea that they were gay, that they were struggling, that some of these boys were struggling like my dad. And it was like, you know, pushing them away, like I couldn't stand them, but I couldn't stand them because the pain inside I couldn't stand. It wasn't them. It was my own internal pain. So if we can understand that they need Jesus just like we do, I think it shifts our heart.
So you said you've been doing this for since 2004. That's a long time. So you've had a lot of exposure to a lot of combinations of things, men that want to be women, women want to be men, you know, all kinds of common, you know, the abuser, the abused, all sorts of combination of things. Do you find that once they realize that God loves them and they start to reach out and have a relationship with Jesus, that a lot of those things change?
I do. And I've witnessed it. I've seen it happen, but they also have to do the work in their own heart. You know, sometimes their hearts have hardened towards God, just like the way ours can, for different reasons, that they can blame God. So it's recognizing the fallen world we live in, digging down in, you know, is enviness part of the reason that has driven them to accept being somebody else? Has it been being sexually molested, being physically or even emotionally abused, witnessing? I mean, there's countless reasons that I have found with individuals that they have gone to the point of wanting to be somebody else, but they're looking for an escape. It's nothing but a mask on the face while the pain is still in the heart, and the heart is what God wants to reach.
And so when they reach that place, have you seen people detransition, and have you seen people like say, I'm going to embrace the fact that I am a woman and I yes. have to heal that spaces. I've often thought, and I have no experience with this at all, and so it's always just been my thought as a physician, of how many people that have become gay. This was long before the transgender sort of thing that's happening, but how many people that decided that they were going to be gay and have a relationship with another woman because they'd had a horrible relationship with their father or with a man. And so they don't want to have a relationship. They want a relationship with someone, but they don't want to have a relationship with a man. So they decide to have a relationship with a woman or the other way around. Have you found that to be true? That was just a supposition on my part. And I know it's not universal. It's not across the board, but at least some people, that's a truism for them.
Yeah. Most, I would totally agree with you on that. You know, if I know women that had been sexually molested by a man particularly, and then they become gay. You know, that wasn't my situation, but there are some women that then feel that all men are unsafe, that they're untrustworthy. I get that. Particularly with my dad's case, he and my grandfather did not get along. My grandfather was a really rough and tough type of guy, and my dad was very sensitive. My dad never felt like he could measure up for his father's pleasure. In the meantime, his older brother's getting all the praise. His older brother's the football player, the girls like him, the guys like him, teachers, all of that. And he had a older sister who was getting all of his dad's affirmation, you know, her father's affirmation, something that my dad really desperately wanted, he longed for, but he didn't know how to attain it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that so many times that leaves people, excuse me, in the empty place of God, because our relationship to our physical father, the one that, you know, we got the genes from, our physical father, whether they are there, whether they're present, whether they're absent, colors our initial relationship with who we think God really is. And once we understand that that's not God. You know, God loves us, and God is all embracing, all forgiving, all accepting of who we are and what, you know, who we are. That it is a whole different world for people that have had a not so good relationship with their physical fathers.
Yeah, what you want is the hurting person to see God the way that we see him, as our father, as you said, somebody that loves us. I mean, he sent his only son to the cross to die for us, to understand the compassion that it wasn't God's will for them to experience what they had. Particularly, I used to ask him growing up as an adult, why did you let dad do that to me? What, you know, trying to understand how can he allow things to happen? And yet in another spiritual time with the Lord, he was actually able to show me that he didn't leave me there alone. He was there, you know, and he was crying with me. So we have to be in tune to the Holy Spirit and knowing God for who he truly is. It's not his heart's desire for anybody to perish from this earth without him.
For sure. Well, this is a time for a really good break. This is a really good place for people who are listening to this to kind of take a deep breath and take that in, because I'm sure you've known people, or maybe your own experience has been like this, but you've known people who've been through this walk. And so it's a healing moment to know that you can get your relationship in touch with the Lord, and he can heal all the past from that. So today we're talking with Denise Schick, the author of many books and the executive director of Help for Families Ministry. We've been talking about her book, My Daddy's Secret, which at the beginning of this, I didn't know that that was a self-revelatory book. I thought it was about somebody else, but it was her own experience. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a second book, Transgender Confusion, a biblical-based Q&A for families, which is so timely with so much of that going on right now in our world. You won't want to miss this. And if you know someone or know someone in your family who's struggling with this, call them and say, hop on the podcast. We got something great to talk about. We're going to take a really quick break. Stay with us. There's more to come. We'll be right back.
There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell, because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody, and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases, that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to your gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers, or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, Denise. It's so great to have you here. This transgender issue is really getting traction. I was really concerned, and we had a lot of people on our podcast who had talked, who have written books about this, about how you affirm a child from when they were really young that you're a girl, you're a girl, you're a girl, or a boy, a boy, a boy. You don't, you know, help them to really be affirmed in their biological sex. We've had guests on that had transitioned to a woman and had detransitioned back and vice versa. We've had a lot of people on. It was really becoming such an issue for parents. I believe that since Trump's been in office, that momentum has been lost by quite a bit. You know, we've really kind of drawn that back. We've gotten rid of the DEI. We've, you know, done a lot of different things, but it's still there. It doesn't go away. And just because you've defunded the surgical programs doesn't mean that they're not still happening. And what this is happening across the country. Tell us a little bit about the biblical basis when parents come to you, or when people come to you about this issue about being transgender, or having transgender confusion. What is the biblical based Q&A that you start with them?
Biblical-based Q&A was formed with multiple questions, just the general questions that usually come our way. I'll never forget the time where I had heard from a number of grandparents sharing what their adult children were going through with their grandchildren and just feeling lost, like, what do I do? How do I come alongside of them? And you know, it is just so refreshing and encouraging them to know that it's okay to not know what to do, but again, let's concentrate on what we can do, because the what I can't do can make you almost feel overburdened and discouraged. And so when we look at what we can do, okay, we're going to go back to my favorite topic, and that's prayer. As Christians, we forget the importance for prayer. We're so used to and accustomed to meeting somebody that needs prayer, and they ask, and we will say we will, but sometimes life gets busy and we really don't. We have to become more formed with our habits that prayer is a part of that, to be praying for your adult children and for your grandchild. We can do that through finding personal voice verses through the scriptures. I love to personalize the scriptures, you know, such as, you know, Lord God, help my dad to trust you with all of his heart and not lean on his own understanding. To create prayer journals. The prayer journals or our prayers are not always meant to just minister to the others, individuals that we're praying for, but it actually ministers to us. And I believe that it builds our faith that God is here in our prayers. It gives us a time to be with the Lord. Additionally, grandparents have the abilities to say, do you need a cup of coffee? You want to come over for dinner? And just let their adult children share what's going on. They don't have to have the perfect answers, but they can be a caring and listening ear for their adult children.
And what is the biblical basis for that? I mean, how do you counsel people who are either gay or considering being, you know, changing their gender or already have? What sort of, how does the Bible come into that conversation?
Well, I think the Bible comes into the conversation by looking at Jesus as a representation of who we want to be an example of. And Jesus was not somebody that feared going into the areas or talking with somebody that was in sin. He did that with Mary at the well and so many others. So I think just to go into it with a biblical basis of saying, okay, I want to be a representation of Jesus Christ. I want to show love well. I want to be able to give biblical truth to what their questions or their struggles are, particularly somebody that's struggling, we would take them back to Genesis. God had created male and female, you know, understanding that there is brokenness and things that happen. But again, we bring biblical verses to support the different answers in the questions that are listed in the Q&A or anything that we do. All, anything that I write has biblical verses to support it.
That's very good. Why don't you just briefly talk about some of the other resources that you have at your center? Because there's lots of material on your website and lots of different books. So why don't you share with our audience the breadth of the things that you have to offer?
Thank you. We have When Hope Seems Lost, which was actually my second book after My Daddy's Secret, after many people, again, in the early, later 2000s, people were like, there's nothing else out there, Denise. So it was trying to create a resource with, it has testimonies of individuals that struggled with their identity. How do we come alongside of them in a biblical and honoring way? From there, you know, this is a funny thing I just want to say is I don't like to read. In high school, I was one of those students that would jump to the first chapter, the last chapter, and in the middle and make up my essay. And I do so much reading now and writing that I just figure God's getting the biggest joke out of all this with all this writing and creating. And so, you know, each of the adult books were created to bring insight, to offer biblical tools, biblical insight into these issues, to minister. Probably my favorite out of the adult resources that we have would be Moving Forward in Hope, which is a 90-day devotional for families with LGBT loved ones. And that is something that I had dreamed of since I was 9 years old.
Oh, wow.
So when the Lord allowed, where he just spoke into me and I was able to create that resource, it was tiresome in some ways, but he was so good. And in fact, my editor said to me the one day, I was so frustrated. I said, I still have to come up with 10 more devotionals. She said, Denise, you're the only one saying it has to be 90 days. I said, no, that's what the Lord's told me. So it has to be a 90-day devotional. I want something more than just a couple weeks. People need more than a couple weeks when they're hurting this badly. And from that resource, we created Moving Forward in Community, which is lovely because we have churches actually across the United States that are using that if they don't have a biblical support group specifically on for LGBT families with loved ones. They've used that just as a 14-week program to have. So the idea of that resource was let's create something that if there is a family that's in Wyoming somewhere in this very small town and they don't have anybody, they can actually get the resource, and there's QR codes to let them hear from a different family in each one of those lessons. So those are ultimately my favorite ones. And then, of course, we have children's books, which came about because of my frustration and the Lord's frustration with what was going on in our school systems, these libraries, everything that was had moved to LGBT, and nothing that was really beneficial to the faith-based family that had a child that was struggling in these ways. What do we do? Or why are they looking at this? You know, so that is why we have been working so hard on children's series, and we'll have another one released later this year.
Oh, wow, that's great. I'll tell people again, as we're winding down the last few minutes of our time together here today, where they can reach you and where they can reach these wonderful resources, because now is the time. People need to hear God's word and hear God's perspective on these challenging issues. Where can they find you, follow you, read you, all those things?
Yeah. They can definitely visit our website, which will give them a wide range of resources and find out more about us. You know, who are we as an organization by going to help4families.org or .com. And I would love to hear from anybody that needs some support, that feels alone, or somebody that's just searching for answers, whether that's the family members or the individual that just feels like, this is it, that life can't get better when it can get better. Let God come alongside of you.
So are your lessons more about coping with the changes that are already there, or do they, I'm not sure how to appropriately ask this question. Are you taking a biblical perspective of telling people that they need to be happy with who they are, or are you just
no? We want people to find out who they are as God had created them.
I see.
You know, so if somebody that is struggling in those areas, like my dad, I would have loved for somebody to at least given him the option to say, you know, I don't understand, Harold, what you're going through, but I'm going to be there with you. Let's try and figure this out together. And to take out the Bible, to disciple, to become a friend. So many individuals that struggle in these areas, they don't have anybody that they can really consider a friend, right? The LGBT, the activist, all of that is, you're with us as long as you're with us in this life. But once you leave, then you never were transgender, because otherwise you wouldn't have left.
I can clearly see that, you know, of who do I even talk to initially about this? Because, you know, those of us that are older, we, you know, if we were girls and we wanted to play with trucks and softball and all that stuff, climb trees and do all, you know, go hunting with our dad, we were just tomboys. You know,
the boys,
and we just, and some people grew out of it and some people didn't. I mean, some people love to go hunting and gardening and farming and things like that their whole life. And that was, they never thought about them as wanting to be boys. They were girls with a wider range of interests than just dolls and shoes and purses, and boys that really, you know, did more gentle things, like maybe music, like playing piano, or they were artists, or they liked to write poetry. Then some, that was just them. They didn't, we know, none of us ever thought about, well, maybe they're a girl and maybe they need to be a girl. What took hold of this? Where did this whole
You know, I think it's the messaging, right? I was one of those girls that had matchbox cars in the sandbox with the next door neighbor. You know, we climbed trees.
Yes.
We did a lot of those sort of things in the country, the small town that I grew up in, and I loved it. But that doesn't mean that I'm a boy, right? It just means that at that time I was interested in that. The example that I love to use in that is I have two daughters. One that did dance all through elementary and high school. Then my youngest daughter, who I signed up for dance, had taken three lessons, and she looked at me one day and she's outside. I remember where I was, and she said, "Mom, I'm just not a girly girl like my big sister is." She was more interested in working on cars with her dad, or, you know, going out and target shooting, doing all those other things. All that meant is that I had to get out of my comfort zone as a mom and to become interested in what she was interested in, so I was still able to have that relationship with her and understand her, to be involved in her life. And I think that's the part where we're missing today. You know, if a child's playing with dolls and he's a boy, then right away, oh, you know, he should have been a girl. And that's what the world will tell him.
Yeah, which really isn't true. They just have a little different interest. And so much of that is quite often just transient. You know, it's something that, you know, when you're 7, 8, 9 and you want to, you know, you're kind of being the tomboy, and then you grow into being the girly girl as you get older and do those things. And sometimes you don't. And it was always okay. It was always okay.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember I did an interview with someone who kind of used that same example. When she was younger, she said, you know, if she would have been born today, they would have all been trying to transition her, because she said, "I was the ultimate tomboy, the ultimate tomboy. I loved sports and cars and all that stuff." And she said, "But I'm married. I have three kids. I love my husband. I don't in any way feel like I should have been a boy. It was just, those were my interests, and that was accepted as my interest." And she said, "But I'm grateful I was born, you know, 50 years ago and not into this society and this culture." Do you have any indication that culture of transgender LG is going to change? Get smaller, be the same, be more accepted, be less accepted? Where do you think that culturally is evolving to?
I'm hoping that with Trump in office, we'll continue to see some control over this. As you had said early on in the show, it's almost like when the Pandora box has been opened, you can't put it back in. But hopefully, I believe we're on the right track. It's sad that it's taken this long and we've gotten this far before people realize the damage that was being done to our children.
Right, for sure.
It's just, it's child abuse. There's no other way to describe it. To have teachers ask young children as young as kindergarten in first grade on a Friday, do you still feel like a boy? What do you feel like today? You know, that's just insane. That's like a weekly brainwash that there's something wrong with them if they keep saying a boy, you know, that the adult's looking for something else. Some of the stories I've heard are just, they're grievous to what's been done to our children.
I remember seeing a clip of a TikTok video of a gal who taught either kindergarten or first grade. This was a teacher, and she was pink haired and tattooed and pierced and all this stuff. And she was proudly saying how that the biggest function of her day was when the kids arrived at school in the morning, she had a little basket and they were to pull out what pronoun they were going to be today. And these are first graders, you know, and so I agree with you about the child abuse. I think that's just terrible.
It's just, it's messing with their heads. Their
it really is messing with their heads.
It is. And it's just so sad, especially if you have a child that's feeling insecure anyways about themselves.
Yeah.
And they want to please the adult.
Well, Denise, I knew this was going to be a lovely conversation and so timely and so important. So I want to thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Would you like to lead us in a word of prayer as we close our
time? Oh, wonderful. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord God, we just come before you as your people and ask that you open up the hearts of all Christians, all of your children, Lord, to understand this type of brokenness of gender, of identity, is a different form of brokenness that still needs you. And it still needs all of your children with hearts that are opened to love those that may feel as if they are the unlovable or somebody that can't come to you because of what they've done. Lord God, we pray for the individuals. We pray for the family members that are involved that surrounding LGBT issues. And just pray for you to minister to them individually and that their needs would be met through you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Very much so. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Give us one more time your website of where people can find you, and if you've got any social media places where people can find you, because there's a desperate need for what you have to offer.
Well, thank you. It's the website is help4families.org or .com. And we do have social media on Facebook where they can follow, again, the help4families.
That's good. Well, thank you so much. And
thank you
for everyone who's been here with us tonight or today. I'm still in the bed because we used to always do this in the evening, but I'm still getting my mind into that we do these every day at 11 a.m. on Tuesdays. It's 11 a.m. We broadcast every day at 11 o'clock. We used to do in the evenings, but now we're doing it at 11 a.m. And they're up there permanently so you can watch them at your leisure and hopefully stumble across all kinds of things that we've done in the past. So I want to thank everybody who's a regular reporter for us, and thank you for the Tenpenny Prime membership. Thank you if you're already a supporter or if you're going to become one soon. And thank you so much again, Denise, for being here. With that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all of my podcasts with, whether it's live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again tomorrow with Morning Coffee with Dr. T or some other time in the future, stay close to God. Trust him for everything. He will never let you down. Thank you so much again, everyone, for being here. Denise, again, thank you for your work and thank you for everything that you've done. And to everyone else, have a great week. Goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.